نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم انما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس اهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما Alhamdulillah, we have gathered here today to celebrate the day of Ashura. And regarding the topic of Ashura, I am going to split my speech into three parts. First of all, the meaning and the importance of Ashura. Secondly, the love and who is the Ahlul Bayt. And finally, the reason for the martyrdom of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. Imam Hussain and Imam Hassan, the grandchildren of the Prophet of Islam, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also the flowers of the gardens of the family of the Ahlul Bayt. And Imam Ahl Sunnat, Mujaddid Deen o Millat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Fazil Barelvi, Rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, clarifies this in one of his poems, where he talks about the tree of Jannah and the tree of Jannah known as Tuba. And he says that the fragrance, Mawla Gulugun Rahmat Zahra, Sibtain Iski Kaliyafool. Sibtain meaning the tree of Jannah, and the fragrance is its mercy, and the flower is Hassan and Hussein. Then he goes on to say that Siddiqo, Faruqo, Usma, Haydar, Har Ek, Uski Shah. And every branch is Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, and Sayyidina Ali, Karamallahu Wajhul Kareem. Ashura, meaning, comes from the word Ashura, 10. And Ashura refers to the 10th. The 10th of Muharram, known as Yawm Ashura, the day of Ashura. This day is significant even before the martyrdom of Hazrat Imam Hussain. And today, we don't teach our children this, unfortunately, as where the children's impression is that Ashura is specifically for the martyrdom of Imam Hussain. However, it is reported in Bukhari that Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that after the fasting of the month of Ramadan, the most important fast is the fast of Ashura. And this came about because the Jews used to fast on this day. And it has been reported that this day is the day of victory. Why? Because this day was the day when Allah Azza wa Jal instructed the angels to start to collate the soil together, to start building the statue of Hazrat Adam. And it was this day that Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam and the Ark of Noah, gained victory over the floods sent as a punishment to the people. And it was this day that Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam came out from the whale's stomach. He was thrown out after 40 days, and he used to pray in the whale's stomach, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min az-zalimin. And after praying that for 40 days, he was thrown out on the day of Ashura. And on the day of Ashura, it was that day when Allah Azza wa Jal split the river into two. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and his people went across the heart of the sea. And when Firaun followed him, then Allah Azza wa Jal instructed the water to join back together. In other words, it was this day that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam gained the victory over Firaun. And it was this day for many other reasons. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam out of the well and became a leader on this day. And Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, who cried because of losing his son Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, regained his eyesight back on this day of Muharram, the 10th of Ashura. So you can see that this day of Ashura is very important in the date of Islam. And also, obviously, most commonly referred to today, this day was the day of the martyrdom of the grandson of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it will be this day, which will be the day when people will come out of their graves, and it will be this day, and it will be a Friday on the 10th of Muharram, when the day of judgment will start. And also known as Yawm al-Jaza. So victory is in this day. So first of all, that clarifies, so why did Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instruct for us to fast on this day? In the last year of his presence in this world in front of our eyes, the Jews, some Sahaba, some companions came up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, the Jews fast on the 10th of Muharram. He inquired, why do they do that? The Jews say that we do this fasting in for thanking Allah because He gave victory to Hazrat Musa over Firaun. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that in that case, the Muslims have more right than the Jews to fast on this day. Because the Muslims believe Hazrat Musa alayhi salam as a prophet, and the Muslims rejoice his victory as well. So next year, if I am present amongst you, uses the term, if I am present amongst you, then we will fast not for one day, but we will fast for 2 days and go against the Jews. So whatever the Jews do, we will do better. But here also, not every statement that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for example, the statement of Hajj, he did not say that next year Hajj will become farz on you, if I am present amongst you. He did not say, if I am present amongst you, you will go on such and such a battle. But this specific thing he said, if I am present amongst you, which proves that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that next year I am not going to be present in front of you. And that proves that the knowledge that Allah gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of for when he was going to leave this world. So known as the knowledge of the unseen or the ilm al-ghayb. So he said, if I am present amongst you, because if he was to say, I am not going to be present amongst you, then there would have been an uproar in the Sahaba, and the Sahaba would be worried that Hudud sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that I'm not going to be there next year. So he said that if I am to be present amongst you, then we will fast for 2 days. So what he is doing here, he is indirectly instructing the Sahaba that you will fast for 2 days next year. And that he was then regarded as the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that tells us that this day is important, very, very important as the Yawm al-Ashura. And a lot of people eat khichra on this day. And people link the food to the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, which is incorrect. Because the khichra, or the broth made from meat and soup, is something that was very much preferred by Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. And because Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam gained victory on this day, that is why we also eat this food. So it is not to link to Hazrat Imam Hussein, it is slightly different. Secondly, the love and the respect of the Ahlul Bayt. It is obvious that whatever Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owned, possessed, instructed, guided, every single factor must be respected. So if it is his hukam, his order, it must be respected. If it is his clothing, it must be respected. If it is his shoes, they must be respected, as Hazrat Abu Huraira did. When he got his shoes, he put them on his head. He got the shoes of Sayyidina Rasulullah, he put them on his head and walked down the street. Respecting the shoes of Sayyidina Rasulullah, where everyone knows the shoes are to be on the feet. But when they are the shoes of the Prophet, then they deserve to be on the head. That is the respect of what belongs to the Prophet. And here, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam belong to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is why they must be respected. And who are the family? The family of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this ayat came down, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ أَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ, when that ayat came down, it is Surah Al-Ahzab. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ayat means that Allah will purify the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cleanse and purify. So when this ayat was revealed, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, I implore you, O my family, O my house. Hazrat Zaid bin Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the house of the Ahle Bayt are four families. And they are the family of Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhul kareem, the family of Hazrat Aqil ibn Abi Talib, the family of Hazrat Jafar ibn Abi Talib, and the family of Hazrat Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala majma'in. All that, and that is a rigorously authenticated hadith in Muslim Sharif, that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to the four families, and they are the Ahl Bayt. So again, on different aspects, when this ayah was revealed, it was revealed at Hazrat Salma's house. And when this ayah was revealed, it has been reported in Tirmidhi that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got his blessed shawl and he put it around Hazrat Fatima, and he put it around Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, and Hazrat Ali was stood behind them, and he said that this is my family, O Allah, purify them.
Subhanallah.
And then in another narration in Mishkan, it's been reported that Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his shawl around everyone, including Hazrat Abbas. And he says, O Allah, protect, veil my family from the fire of Jahannam as I am veiling them today. So here, it directly reports who his family was. And on another occasion, for his love for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, he says that whoever loves them, loves me. And whoever loves me, Allah loves them. On another occasion, he says, Hazrat Usama ibn Zayd and Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in, he is holding both of their hands, they are both small, he's holding their hands, and reported in Bukhari, he says that, O Allah, I love these two, O Allah, you love them also. So this love for him, and the scholars report that the recognition of the Ahl Bayt, in other words, to recognize their status, means that you will be protected from the fire of Jahannam. To love the Ahl Bayt means that you will be guided on the full Sirat. And to respect and adore the Ahl Bayt means that you will be never be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. The ulama report this. So the Ahl Bayt's importance. And again, Hazrat Zaid ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a very close and beloved companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when his mother passed away, he went to her janaza, and then he got on his camel, and Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu grabbed hold of the reins of the camel. So Hazrat Abbas is on the camel, and Hazrat Ibn Abbas is grabbing the reins of the camel. Hazrat Zaid says that, don't grab hold of the reins of my camel, O nephew of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was the son of Hazrat Abbas. He says, Hazrat Abbas replies, O Zaid, this is how we are taught to respect our teachers. Because Hazrat Zaid was the one that taught him how to pray the Quran. So, and Hazrat Zaid bin Thabit then grabs hold of Hazrat Ibn Abbas's hand and kisses it, and he says, this is how we've been taught to respect the family of the Ahl Bayt. So you can see there's a mutual respect for the teachers one side and for the Ahl Bayt on the other side. And then, on one occasion, Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given the war booty to two people. One was Usama ibn Zayd and one was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. He gave 3,000 dirhams to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, his son. And he gave 3,500 dirhams to Usama ibn Zayd. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar asks his father, says, Father, O Khalifa, why have I been given 3,000 and he has been given 3,500? For he was not in front of me in the battle, I was in front of him. He replied that the reason is because Usama ibn Zayd was loved more by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than you were loved. Therefore, I will respect more love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he gave an extra 500 to Usama ibn Zayd.
Allah.
So, dear brothers of Islam, on an occasion, Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam reports in Muslim, again, a rigorously authenticated hadith that no one can say it is weak authority. It is rigorously authenticated. He says, looking at Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, he says that the believers will love you and the hypocrites will dislike you. He says here that the believers, in other words, the mu'min will love Hazrat Ali and the hypocrite will hate Hazrat Ali. So here he is showing that those people who love Hazrat Ali are those people who are the believers. And then on one occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu gets hold of Imam Hassan and puts him on his shoulders. And he turns around to Hazrat Ali and he says, "Oh Ali, Hassan looks more like the Prophet, he does not look like you." Hazrat Ali starts to smile because Hazrat Jafar ibn Abi Talib and Hazrat Hassan ibn Ali karamallahu wajhul karim were the two people who resembled most in feature and nobility and the looks to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Hassan was a mirror image of Sayyidina Rasulullah. And Hazrat Jafar was also one who resembles his looks. So here you see the different aspects of love shown by the Sahaba and also instructed by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Finally, Hazrat Malik ibn Anas, known as Imam Malik, was flogged by Jafar ibn Sulaiman up to the extent that he became unconscious. Jafar ibn Sulaiman was one of the agents of the Abbasid Empire of Khilafah before Imam Malik came. And he flogged him for no reason whatsoever, up to becoming unconscious. Imam Malik, gaining his consciousness, was told by Khalifa al-Mansur that you can retaliate with Jafar ibn Sulaiman if you want, for he has unjustly flogged you. But Imam Malik reports that he flogged me lawfully, so therefore there is nothing wrong with that. He was inquired. He did not flog you lawfully. He flogged you for no reason whatsoever. Why are you forgiving him? Hazrat Imam Malik reports that I am ashamed of seeing Sayyidina Rasulullah on the Day of Judgment, and because of me, one of his Ahlul Bayt will go into the fire of Jahannam. So here, because Jafar ibn Sulaiman was a descendant of Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so here the Imam Malik is showing two things. Number one, that he, for no reason, should you be a cause to upset the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment, for his family to be punished by Allah Azza wa Jal. But secondly, is more importantly, is that his family, if they work against the Sharia, can also be punished by Allah Azza wa Jal. And all the ulama are of the consensus of the opinion, except for Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Imam Hassan, and Imam Hussein. Why? Because they were the people that Allah revealed the ayat to. That Allah has purified you, the family of the Ahlul Bayt. So the family of the Ahlul Bayt, and up to today's tradition, has been the love for Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam and anything that is connected. My dear brothers of Islam, that does not mean that on one side you forget the commands of Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on the other side you grab hold of the family of the Ahlul Bayt. Because Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the Tirmidhi that I leave you two things. One is the book of Allah, which is the commands of Allah. And the secondly is my family, my Ahlul Bayt. Grab hold of them, hold onto them firmly, for they will be your Sirat-e-Mustaqim. The ulama report on this hadith that this means that the Quran is the theory and the Ahlul Bayt specifically referring to the close family of Sayyidina Rasulullah, in the Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Abbas, Hazrat Jafar, Hazrat Aqim, all of them are an example for you of how to live your life. So, on this, the ulama report that one is theory and the other one is practical. Because there is another rigorously authenticated hadith, which shows that Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referring to the same conclusion, reports that I leave you behind two things. One is the Quran and one is my Sunnah. And that is reported in Bukhari. So there, hadiths do not contradict each other. The hadiths conclude to the same conclusion. And that is that one is the theory and one is the practical. So here, my dear brothers and sisters of Islam, this shows you that the love for Ahlul Bayt is the love for Rasulullah. And the love for Rasulullah is the only thing that will guarantee you into Jannah. Now, finally, Imam Hussein and his martyrdom. There are many shuhada in Islam. And Sayyidu Shuhada is Hazrat Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. He was referred to as Sayyidu Shuhada, the king of the martyrs, who was the uncle of Sayyidina Rasulullah in the Battle of Uhud. But also referred to as Shuhada-e Azam, as the most respected shaheed in the Ahl-e Islam after the Sahaba, is Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The two significant differences between them is Hazrat Hamza was fighting against the Kuffar, and Hazrat Imam Hussein was not fighting against the Kuffar. He was fighting against the Fasiq Mu'allim. He was fighting against the wrongdoers, those who did not understand and go with the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So there are two differences here. However, why do we teach this to our children? Why do we remember Hazrat Imam Hussein? For there is a group of people, you know, as the Shiites, who say that Imam Hussein's martyrdom is the only martyrdom to be recognized. And Imam Hussein, you have to remember them and you have to show your sorrow on the 10 days of Muharram. And you have to be sad and you have to wear black clothing and you should not eat meat. And you should not do any special occasion. Your businesses should be closed. And you should do nothing except for cry for the martyrdom. Up to the extent that you will get swords and you will beat your backs with them. And you will make yourself in blood just to show the significance of Imam Hussein. However, that is wrong in Islam. Why? Because that is not the command of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sharia of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is above every and every single being. So, to eat meat in the 10 days is perfectly halal. Two, wear white clothing up to the extent that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore the black amama on the day of Fatah, the day when he victored over Makkah. However, the consensus of the ulama has been reported that the black amama is definitely the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah, but you should avoid it on the 10th of Muharram. And all black clothing should be avoided. But then again, on one occasion, it is the sunnah. Why are we avoiding the sunnah? Because that is now a sign of those people who have deviated from the straight path. In other words, the Shiites wear that. So someone would not mistake you for a Shiite. The ulama say that you should not wear complete black clothing on them days. And Mufti Ahmad Yaqan Naimi, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, states that one can marry on the 10th of Muharram. And one should marry on the 10th of Muharram as long as it is under the folds of Sharia. Why? To show that this day is not a day of grief. Yes, the 3 days of grief were the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th of Muharram in 60 al-Hijri, when Hazrat Imam Hussein was martyred. But Islam shows that there is no more grieving after 3 days, except for a woman who grieves her passing away of her husband for 4 months and 10 days. But that does not mean that you rejoicefully have fireworks and you watch the TV and you go out at night, because all that is haram in any occasion. All that is haram. What it does mean is you remember the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and the purpose of that martyrdom. Why was he martyred on that day? What did he do? And why did he do it? Is something that our young children need to learn. Let me tell you, when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away from this world, all the people chose Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu as the Khalifa of Islam.
Yes.
And then Hazrat Abu Bakr says that after me, it will be Umar. So they are known as the Shaykhain. And the Shaykhain, to insult the Shaykhain, is kufr on one occasion.
Yes.
It's kufr because they were the very people whom Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed his most love to. So they are the Shaykhain. After that, Hazrat Umar reported 6 people that should, if he was to be martyred when he passes away from the world, that should succeed him on the throne of Khilafah. And out of them, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was one of them. Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib was another. Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala was another, and there were 3 more. So he reported them. So when Hazrat Umar was martyred, Hazrat Uthman was chosen by the success, by the people, the Ijma, that he will be the next person to be the Khalifa.
Bishop.
And Hazrat Ali was agreeing in that consensus.
Bishop.
He was not against it. But when Hazrat Uthman was martyred, that is when there was a disagreement between 2 groups of Muslims. One group of Muslims say that the martyrdom of Hazrat Uthman should be avenged. You should avenge this martyrdom. And another group of Muslims say that we should leave it to Allah. And the group of Muslims that say we should leave it to Allah was Hazrat Ali. And he was the next successor. And he was the next Khalifa. But the other group was Amir Muawiyah, whom we respect and love as well as a Sahabi.
Bishop.
And on that side of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was Hazrat Aisha, bint Abu Bakr, and the mother of all Mu'min. The wife of Sayyidina Rasulullah was on the side of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. So she was on that side saying that we should avenge the death of Hazrat Uthman. But Hazrat Ali said no. And this erupted into a fierce argument. And when it went into a fierce argument, it erupted into the Battle of Siffin. And in the Battle of Siffin, 10,000 companions were martyred, as it was a civil war. 10,000 companions were martyred. Eventually, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred by a Khariji. A Khariji was those people who hated Hazrat Ali and his family. Why? Because when the battle took place, they decided that the Quran should be put on Sirah Sword and put up and said, let the Quran make the decision. Some people, the Khariji, said that is shirk. For that, you can't rely on the Quran. The words of Allah, the hukam of Allah should be relied on. So there was this argument. So the Khariji's separated from that group. And it was the Kharijis that Hazrat Ali fought with who came out. Kharij means come out of Islam. They came out of Islam. And they're the people who avenged. And they're the people who hated Hazrat Ali. And Hazrat Ali was then martyred by one of the Kharijis. When Hazrat Ali was martyred, Hazrat Imam Hassan became a Khalifa. He was the next Khalifa, the next successor. But Hazrat Imam Hassan was one of them whom Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that my son Hassan will join 2 disagreeing parties together. He will join 2 disagreeing parties together, showing one of the qualities and one of the values of the Ahl al-Bayt. He was showing that when 2 people disagree, they will join together, and Imam Hassan will be one of them. Imam Hassan, 6 months of Khilafat, went to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. And he says to Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah that I give my Khilafat to you. By doing this, the disagreeing parties joined together. And there was no disagreement after that. The first, and those people who say and curse Hazrat Amir Muawiyah and say that Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was against Islam, those people who say that Hazrat Amir Muawiyah should not be respected, then they are accusing Hazrat Hassan for giving him Khilafat. Because Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu would give up his throne, he would give up his status, but he would not give up the Shariat of Sayyidina Rasulullah. And if Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was against the Shariat of Sayyidina Rasulullah, then Imam Hassan would have fought Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, and then he would have beaten him, but he did not fight him. In fact, he gave him his Khilafat on the very principle that this disagreement that we have was a political issue, not a religious issue. So Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was given Khilafat, and then there was no disagreement. But when Hazrat Amir Muawiyah passed away from this world, Yazid bin Amir Muawiyah became the Khalifa as the son, the successor of his father. And Yazid, when he became a Khalifa, or during the time of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, was not a fasik. It was not a wrongdoer. He was not an open wrongdoer. And that is why Hazrat Amir Muawiyah said that my son will become the next successor. Because he knew at that time that he was according to the Sharia of Sayyidina Rasulullah. But when he became a Khalifa, he started to go against the commands of Allah. He started to drink alcohol. He started to perform adultery. He started to disregard the commands of Allah's Messenger. And up to the extent that when it came to a battle, Yazid's army fought against Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair in the vicinity of Haram, so that they put large boulders and threw them at the Holy Kaaba, to the extent that the Hajriyas was split into three pieces. That was done by Yazid's army. Why? For the throne, for the political issue. Because he was against the commands of Islam. Hazrat Imam Hussein was in Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat Imam Hassan was martyred. He was given poison. By who? We don't know. When he was poisoned, and Imam Hussein then, but remember, at this time Amir Muawiyah was on the Khilafah. So Imam Hussein lived a peaceful and Sharia life in Madinatul Munawwara. But when Yazid came on the throne, it was the principle of a Khalifa that everyone should put their hand on his hand and everyone should obey his command. So he sent a message to Imam Hussein. He said to Imam Hussein that you will also become one of my followers. Imam Hussein did not reply that I will not become a follower of you because you are the son of Amir Muawiyah. He did not say that. He did not say that I will not become a follower of you because my status is higher than yours. He did not say that. He said that I will not become a follower of you because you disregard the Sharia of Sayyidina Rasulullah. If you disregard the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I, as a grandson of Sayyidina Rasulullah, I have to uphold the commands of Allah. And I will not put my hand on your hand. This infuriated Yazid. So Yazid sent a delegate to Madinatul Munawwara. Imam Hussein went to the shrine of Sayyidina Rasulullah and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you, for you are my grandfather, for you are the best of all creation. However, your Sharia here is under jeopardy, and I cannot sacrifice the Sharia for staying in Medina. And that is why I will have to leave Medina if I have to, because the Sharia comes in precedence over anything else. So Imam Hussein cried. He went to sleep and he saw his blessed grandfather in his dream. In the holy shrine, he went to sleep there. And he said, my son, go, leave, you have my ijazah. And we are waiting for you. Imam Hussein in one narration says that Hazrat Ali was there with Sayyidina Rasulullah. Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra was there with Sayyidina Rasulullah in that dream, and they were saying, my son, we are waiting for you. Come to us. So this was an indication that he would give his life to Islam. So Imam Hussein then went to Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra grave, which is in Al-Baqi, the cemetery in front of the shrine of Sayyidina Rasulullah in Madinatul Munawwara. And in Al-Baqi, he cried at her grave as well. He talked to her. Here, you talk to only people who are alive in the grave. You don't talk to the dead people. Imam Hussein is saying that Fatima is alive in her grave. So, he talked to her. He cried, and he visioned, and he heard a voice saying, my son, I love you very much, and I give you my hijab. So he leaves. He leaves Madinatul Munawwara. He leaves with his close family and friends. And he goes to Makkatul Mukarramah. 59 Al-Hijri. Here, the request of Yazid is happening one after the other. Join my army, join my group of people, join my followers. The man Hussein is ignoring him. He goes to Al-Haram. And when he gets to Makkatul Mukarramah, then the people of Kufa who are in Iraq hear that Imam Hussein has not given his hand to Yazid. So the people of Kufa send letters after letters. Come to Kufa. Come to Kufa. Because Kufa was a place which was decorated by Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and the Sahaba who victored over Iraq. And Kufa was now a group of mu'mins, a group of believers. And they invited Imam Hussein, come here, we will give our hands on your hand. We will give our bayt to you. We will not give our bayt to Yazid. And that was the argument. Imam Hussein inquired with his close friends and family. When he was in Al-Haram, in Makkah,
people came in their flocks and in their thousands to see the blessed grandson of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Because they were those Utabe Tabai, those that had not seen the Prophet, and those who had not seen Sayyidina Rasulullah. So they wanted to see Hazrat Imam Hussain and show their love for him. So people came in their thousands. So there was a major group of people in Al-Haram. So the consensus of opinion was that they would send Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil. Remember I said to you earlier that Hazrat Aqil ibn Abi Talib was the son of Abu Talib and also the brother, who was also the brother, the cousin brother of Hazrat Ali. And Hazrat Ali, and therefore, he was the brother of Hazrat Ali. So Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil was the cousin of Sayyidina Imam Hussain. So Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil was also the Ahl Bayt. Hazrat Imam Hussain comes to the opinion with the rest of the people that Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu will go to Kufa and see what the status of the people are like. So he leaves with his two small children. He takes his two small children and he reaches Kufa. In one, he then stands there, and people have been waiting for Imam Hussain all the time, because they've been sending letters after letters. And when he comes in, people come in their thousands, for they believe that this is Imam Hussain. But when they see that it is the cousin of Imam Hussain, they are still as pleased to see him. And they give their hand on their hand and say, this is approximately 16,000 people who gave the bayat to Hazrat Muslim in Qatim. And they say, we will follow you, and we will fight for you, and we will live with you, and we will listen to your commands. So Hazrat Muslim sends a letter to Imam Hussain back in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He says that these people of Kufa will fulfill their promise. They will follow us, and they will give us support. So you should come immediately and leave with the Ahl Bayt and the family to Kufa. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beloved messenger, beloved grandson, leaves in the first few days of Dhul-Hajjah in that year. When he leaves with his group of people, remember, it wasn't like today that you get on a bus and you get there. It was a foot journey. So it took a long time, approximately 3-4 weeks to get to Kufa. However, the tide was turning in Kufa. Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil's presence in Kufa was heard by Yazid back there as the governor. So he sent Ibn Ziyad, one of his fellow agents, and a zalim, a person who did not respect Sayyidina Rasulullah's family, a person spoken for the status of the throne, went as a governor of Kufa. Once he reached Kufa, he was very clever. He does not go into Kufa openly. He covers his head and he covers his face. He covers his body and he goes onto a camel. The people believe Imam Hussein has arrived. Imam Hussein has arrived. So people gather in their thousands. He says nothing to them, because he knew that as he was entering Kufa, if people knew that it was a person of Yazid, then they would not let him enter. However, he goes with his group of people into the place that he wants to get into the heart of Kufa. And then people believe it is Imam Hussein. Then he stands on top of a building. And then he says, I am Ibn Ziyad. I am the agent of Yazid. And I have been told by Yazid that you all must leave Muslim bin Aqil. And you all must follow me. If you do not, Yazid will send his army in their thousands to destroy every single one of you. Immediately, people were scared for their lives. So people started to leave Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil. And they started to go in their hundreds. And Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil saw that people were starting to follow Ibn Ziyad. So Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil stands and he starts to do a speech and he starts to say to the people that I am the son of the uncle of Sayyidina Rasulullah. I am the nephew of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Follow me. For Sayyidina Rasulullah, do you not know the importance he has given to the family of the Ahlul Bayt? Do not follow Yazid. Do not follow his army. Follow me. However, people were scared for their lives. So people were more conscious that their children, what can we do, Muslim bin Aqil? Our children's lives are under danger. Our wives are under danger. For Ibn Ziyad had already told them that every one of your children will become a servant for Yazid. And every one of your women will become a servant wife for Yazid. So therefore, we will rape your women. We will kill your children. We will kill you if you continue to follow the Muslim bin Aqil. So the people were scared for their lives. So they started to leave. Eventually, it became dusk. It became night time. And Muslim bin Aqil was left with only a handful of people. The 16,000 or more had all gone to their houses. wanting nothing to do with Muslim bin Akil. Muslim bin Akil was now left on his own. He, only with the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal, was left in a country, a state, all on his own, no supporters, for the only handful realized that we can't help Muslim bin Akil. So he goes. Hazrat Muslim bin Akil immediately realizes. So he puts his children to the Qadi of Kufa. The Qadi was a lover of the Ahlul Bayt. So he hides his children. And Muslim bin Akil goes to another group, another house, that they love him. However, Ibn Ziyad is in search for Muslim bin Akil. And he has given a reward for those who find Muslim bin Akil. These were those people who had a political agenda. They were those people whose status on the chair was more important than the status in Al-Hashr. So these people were starting to look for Muslim bin Akil. The very people who said they would support him are now trying to find Muslim bin Akil, the cousin of Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein. Eventually, they find him in a house. And therefore, they send a message to Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad sends his soldiers. He finds Muslim bin Akil. Oh Muslim, you have to give your hand to my hand. And you have to give your hand to Yazid's hand. Hazrat Muslim bin Akil also knew that if I was to give my hand to Ibn Ziyad, it means that the family of the Ahlul Bayt is bowing down to Sharia. And the family of the Ahlul Bayt will never bow down to Sharia. They will give their throat, they will give their head, but they will never give their hand against the Sharia. My dear brothers of Islam, it was the Ahlul Bayt that Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu records that when the verse was revealed by Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call your family, call your children, call your wives, call your daughters, and do a mubahla against the Jews, and do a cursing against the Jews. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets hold of Imam Hussain, Imam Hussain, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, and he says, this is my family, this will go against the Jews. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always showed it was the Ahlul Bayt that gave sacrifice in the path of Allah first of all. It was Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra that we used to cook with our own hands. It was Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra that used to look after her family. Hazrat Ali, she could not spend a single day resting. Her hands used to come with blisters. And then when she asked for a servant, Sayyidina Rasulullah says, oh Fatima, you are my child. If I give you a servant, then what will happen to the rest of the Ummah? They will say that I have favored my family. I have favored my family. You will continue. However, Hazrat Fatima did not complain. Hazrat Fatima continued to strive in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And she used to spend all night worshipping Allah Ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal. She used to say, Allah, make my prostration so long that I can fulfill my prostration and the night does not finish. Because when she used to prostrate in the night, she used to go into sajda. Before she lifted her head up, the Adhan prayer was called for. This was Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra. This was the family setting example. This was the Ahlul Bayt setting an example. For do you not remember the Battle of Badr? When Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who did he send in front of the Kuffar? It was Hazrat Hamza, the first person. It was Hazrat Ali, the second person, that fought in the path of Allah, the first person. My dear brothers, the family of the Ahlul Bayt here was under attack. If the Muslim bin Aqil was under attack, however, he fought who he could. They got on top of the roof, and eventually they martyred, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil had been martyred by the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. Then, my dear brothers of Islam, remember, Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil left two children. He was at the Qadi's house. These children were under the threat of their lives. The Ibn Ziyad had found out that these children are hiding, so they must not hide. I will make them my servants. I will call them and they will bow. And the family of Sayyidina Rasulullah and the family of Imam Hussein will bow in front of me. However, these two children were fighting for their lives. Eventually, in the middle of the night, the Qadi has said that they know that they are in this house. Leave from the back door. Go away from here. So these two small children, one is 6 years old, one is 4 years old, in Kufa, in the night, in the valley, don't know where they are going. They are scared. So they are walking towards where do they go? They do not know where to go. And then a woman sees them who is spilling water. She says, who are you two? They reply, we are the son of Muslim bin Akil. We were told to come here. We were asked by you people to come here. And you people have let us down. You people have deserted us. She says, come to my house. She takes them to their house. However, she says that my husband is a zalim. he is an oppressor. If he finds you too, then he will take you to Ignatius. Therefore, you will go upstairs into the house, in the corner of the house, and you will hide there. If my husband comes, you will not say a word. For if he finds out, then he will take you. So what does he do? The husband comes in the night. He has been spending all day looking for the two children. So he wants his reward. He has been told 10,000 dirhams for the reward of these two children. So what does he do? At night time, he goes to sleep. In the middle of the night, one of the child has a dream. And he dreams that Hazrat Muslim bin Akil, his father, is next to Sayyidina Rasulullah. And he's next to Hazrat Fatima al-Zuhra. And next to Hazrat Ali. And his father is saying, my son, come to me. I am waiting for you. Sayyidina Rasulullah is waiting for you. In the middle of the night, the six-year-old stands up with a nightmare. Screams, my brother, his four-year-old son, his four-year-old brother sits up next to him and says, my brother, why are you crying? Why are you screaming? I've just seen my father. And he is waiting for us. He is asking for us. The four-year-old brother said, that is funny, for the very same dream I was having as well. My dear brother, but with his screaming, the zalim downstairs had heard the voice of the small children. He said to his wife, who is this voice coming from? Who are these children? His wife tries to hide. I don't know. He goes upstairs with a candle. He sees two children are shivering in the corner with fright. He says, who are you two? And they are children. They're not going to lie. They say, we are the son of Muslim bin Akil. They are the very people that this zalim was looking for all day. He knew that his reward was in front of them. He grabbed all the four of them children as if he grabbed all of two rice sacks. He puts them on top of the camel and he goes towards Ibn Ziyad. But worst of all, my dear brother, he does not have any mercy in his heart. He takes them to the side of the sea. He gets hold of his sword and cleanly cuts both of their heads off and throws their both heads into the sea. This zalim did not have even mercy for no two children of the family of Sayyidina Rasulullah. He then takes the headless bodies to Ibn Ziyad. When Ibn Ziyad sees him, he says that I did not say to you that you should bring them headlessly. I did not say to you that you should kill them. Therefore, you are even worse than I am. He instructs his soldiers to kill this person. Now, my dear brothers of Islam, the three delegates, two small children, and Hazrat Muslim bin Akil, were sent by Imam Hussein as an agent, as an ambassador, and the people had called him. However, Imam Hussein, because he had received the letter that come to Kufa, initially by Hazrat Muslim bin Akil, Imam Hussein was now on his way to Kufa, awaiting those people, very people who said that they would support him, the very people who would go against him. However, he reached to the battle, he reached in the halfway of Iraq, and he meets the army of Yazid, right in the middle, and they say that, where are you going? He says, we are coming to Kufa. And then he says that, why are you going to Kufa? You will give your hand to the hand of Yazid. Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says that how can I give my hand for Hassan Yazid? It was for that very reason I left the Shahratul Rasul, the city of Sayyidina Rasulullah. It was the very reason I left Makkatul Mukarramah. I will not give my hand on the hand of Yazid. And then they say, you will have to give your hand. Imam Hussein looks around. He sees the people of Kufa and he says to them, people of Kufa, you are the very people who called me. I have your letters here in front of me. Look, these are your letters on there. He said, they bow their heads. He said, your people are calling me and now you are fighting against me. Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then stops at that position. It becomes night time. One of the people who was with Ibn Ziyad's army, because Ibn Ziyad was not there, he sent Ibn Sa'd. So Ibn Sa'd, and Ibn Sa'd was even worse than Ibn Ziyad. And he sends that person. And one of the people that was with Ibn Sa'd comes at night time to Hazrat Imam Hussein and says that I follow you. I apologize for what we have done and I advise you to go in the middle of the night. The army of Ibn Sa'd are all going to sleep and you should take a redirection, a diversion and not go towards Kufa. Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and how many of his followers? 72 of them. 72 Imam Hussein. Out of them, there are small children and there are wives and there are women. This is not an army, but this is the army of Allah. And they go and they take the diversion. Where they go to? They go to Karbala. They go to the field of Karbala. The field of Karbala, the sand has gone red. Why has it gone red? Immediately, Imam Hussein goes to sleep. And he remembers, he sees Hazrat Ali, his blessed father. And he sees him, my son. I on one occasion used to pass this field, and I saw that you were going to be martyred in this field. And he remembers that. Tears start to roll from his eyes. Imam Hussein knew that his final destination had arrived. And then he sees an old woman is wiping Karbala. What are you doing, old lady? She turns around, she lifts her veil, she says, I am Fatima al-Zahra. I am the daughter of Sayyidina Rasulullah. I am cleaning this field because my son will be martyred here. My son will be martyred here. He was there, Fatima al-Zahra was there in that field, cleaning the field for her blessed son's blood. My dear brother, Imam Hussein takes his army, stands on the side, and Yazid's army, Ibn Sa'd's army, was not 72, it was not 1,000, it was 80,000 warriors on the other side. 80,000 against a mere 72. Does that not prove to you that when there is haq, haq does not look at the majority and the minority? Haq looks at the Sharia of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Sayyidina Rasulullah's Sharia is one on one side, and there were those people who were against the Sharia of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Imam Hussein takes his first. It is the first of Muharram, the second of Muharram, and then what happens? This it becomes a sanction, a word you are familiar with today. The Sahih have been sanctioned. There was no water passing to the group of the army of Imam Hussein. The group of people, those small children, my dear brothers, on the fourth day the water was stopped. There was no water in the hot burning desert of Karbala. No water at all whatsoever. What were these people going to do? But were they going to give in? Sharia says on one situation that if your life is at risk, then you can give in. But Imam Hussein says that I am an example of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sharia. If I give in to this Sharia, what is going to happen to the rest of my Ummah? Imam Hussein does not give in. He says if we die, we die for the cause of Allah. My dear brothers, then the time comes. No water, one person from the army of Hazrat Imam Hussein, and I will call it an army. It is not an army fighting against the Yazid. It is an army fighting against all those fighting commanders. And this army of 72 people, the house of Sayyidina Rasulullah, is there. No water, my dear brothers. They are not just adults. There is Hazrat Ali Askar, who is only 6 months old, the son of Hazrat Imam Hussein. There's Hazrat Ali Askar, who is only 18 years old. Today, my 18-year-old brothers find it more important to go into the nightclub. They find it more important to go and watch TV. But this 18-year-old, the son of Sayyidina Rasulullah, is fighting against an army of 80,000 to defend the Sharia of Sayyidina Rasulullah. My dear brothers of Islam, Hazrat Ali Akbar, Hazrat Ali Akbar, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Hussein, Hazrat Imam Hassan's son was there. Hazrat, a whole family of the Ahle Bayt was in Karbala at that time. And there was no water going towards them. What is happening here? So one man from the army decides to get a small pouch of water. He goes to the other field and he takes a small pouch of water. As he is coming back, one of the Ibn Sa'd's men grabs hold of him and he cuts his hand off. So he takes this bag of water on the other hand and he is now going back to the field of Imam Hussein with one hand cut off, but the other hand of water for the family of Sayyidina Rasulullah. And as he goes there, they cut his other hand off. So he takes the pouch in his mouth and he's going, he's no hands anymore. They have just been cut off, clean cut off by the army of Sa'd. However, as he nearly reaches Imam Hussein, one zalim gets hold of an arrow and he shoots right at the back and he goes straight to the back and all the water pours out. There, my dear brother, the water nearly went to the people, the army for the small children and the wives, but he did not get there. However, this was a test for the Ahlulbayt, a test for Imam Muslim, Imam Hussein, and a test for the whole of Islam, that if Sharia is put on one occasion, and then a group of people are at that time, you do not follow that group of people, you follow the Sharia of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Then what happens? There is now 8 for Muharram, and then 8 for Muharram, the battle has begun. Imam Hussein is not only the gangster, Imam Hussein is not only the child of Hazrat Fatima, but he is also a Sahabi Rasul. He is also a warrior in the battlefield. So he goes into the battlefield, he fights 2, 3, 4 people, he comes back, he sees his small son, the family is crying, he grabs all of Hazrat Ali Akbar. He shows to the army, he says, what has this poor child done for you, O enemies of the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Give water, not for me, but for this poor child. One zalim gets hold of an arrow, he shoots it at Hazrat Ali Akbar, and Hazrat Ali becomes martyred in the path of Allah. My dear brother, one by one, everyone is becoming martyred, and the 10th of Muharram comes. And Imam Hussein is now in the battlefield. He is gathered by the people. He says, wait a minute. If you want to kill me, then kill me. But my time for namaz is coming. I will not give my namaz for anything. So he then starts to go into namaz. My dear brothers of Islam, when there are those people in front of you, you have not eaten for days, you have not drank for days, surely he could miss his namaz. Surely he could make his namaz qaza. But not one namaz was made qaza. And today, we see our brother in the comfort of their home, the drink in front of them, the food in front of them, and one after the other, every namaz is becoming qaza. My dear brothers of Islam, Imam Hussein goes into the prostration, and one zalim gets on top of the Imam Hussein, and he cuts his head off. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The site of Shuhada, Shuhada'i Azam, has become martyr. Who by those people who are fighting against the Sharia of Islam? And then, even worse, Ibn Sa'ad then says, get hold of the head, put it on top of the sword, and we will show the army of Yazid who are the victors here. But my dear brother, he does not leave it at that. He then instructs his people, 80,000 horses, to go in on top of the bodies of the martyrs there, and then stand on them and completely crush them into the ground. And this is the family of the Ahlulbayt in the Battle of Karbala. There is only one left. There are few wives left and one young man, Imam Zainul Abidin. Imam Zainul Abidin was poor that day. He was ill that day. So Imam Zainul Abidin wanted to fight. Imam Hussein says, no, my son, you will not fight, for my progeny, my children will continue from your line. And his children will continue from Imam Zainul Abidin. Then, my dear brother, the people are taken back to Kufa. They take us back to Yazid. And they are there. And this is a small group of people, all living left. Imam Zainul Abidin and the head of Imam Hussein on top of a sword. And then the women are in front and the head is behind them. And then one Sahabi sees, an old Sahabi, he recognizes that Imam Hussein's head. That is Imam Hussein. He goes closer to the women and says that I can't openly do anything, but can I do anything to assist you? Allahu Akbar. Sacrifice your Iman on them women. My sisters today, listen to what this woman says. She says that at the moment we are at the front and the head is behind us and they have unveiled us. There is no naqab in front of us. So all the girl mahram are looking at our faces. All we ask you to do is to bring the head from behind to the front so everybody looks at that head and our faces are safe from the girl mahram. From the girl mahram side. She bows her head. This is exactly what happens. My dear brothers of Islam, the battle comes to a conclusion and then you see that there are two contradicting stories. One says, Yazid says, that I did not say kill Imam Hussein. And another one says that yes, he instructed Imam Hussein. And Imam Azam Rahmatullah Ta'ala, who coincidentally is also from Kufa. He comes from another few years after that. And Imam Azam comes from the Kufa. Imam Azam says that a Muslim will remain quiet about Yazid. They will not call him a Muslim and they will not call him a kafir. They will call him a zalim. They will call him a badkar. They will call him an oppressor. But they will refrain from calling him a kafir. Why? Because his Kufa is not clearly proven. However, Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal say that he is an open kafir. My dear brother, and then what happens? Yazid ibn Mariyah, the son of Yazid, then comes to the throne. He says, I don't want the throne that has been cleared, that's been painted by the blood of the Ahlulbayt. I give my throne away. I do not want my throne, father. I do not want anything that is the enemy of the Ahlulbayt. These were the enemy of the Ahlulbayt. These were the people who hated Imam Hussein Ali Maqam. However, Imam Hussein victor, what did he victor? He passed away, but he victor to uphold the Sharia of Islam. He victor to uphold the sacrifice of Islam. And that is why we remember Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein is remembered for his sacrifice for the Sharia. Imam Hussein is remembered that whoever it may be, whether it be the direct grandson of Sayyidina Rasulullah, when it comes to the Sharia, you will fight against those people who are against the Sharia. My dear brothers of Islam, may Allah Azza wa Jal grant all them peace in Jannah. May Allah Azza wa Jal continue this victory of Imam Hussein up to the day of judgment. These children will remember Imam Hussein not only as a son of the Prophet, but also as a clear picture of the Prophet Sharia. Wa akhiru da'wana.